Blog Talk Radio.
Awaken to Empowerment. Are you ready to create your ideal life? This is Carol Ann Parisi, and it is a beautiful day. So happy to be with you here on this meaningful, mindful, motivational Monday. So are you ready? Because it's time. It is time to create your ideal life. It is time to awaken to empowerment. It's time to awaken your consciousness and these timeless truths, and we're going to take your life from transition to transformation, because transition is all around us. So let's get our consciousness awakened, and let's have a paradigm shift and set our soul free for peace, love, and empowerment. This is a wonderful day today, and we are your source for hope with conscious solutions for these tumultuous transitional times, when humanity surges with uncontrolled uncertainty, doubt, and fear. So how's your life working for you? Did you plan your ideal life today? Is your life everything that you want it to be? Are you kind of asking yourself, what the hell's going on? Can't things be better than this? And how did I end up here? And what do I have to do to make that compelling change? So let's tap into some timeless truths and solutions to create your ideal life today. Let's start off immediately with our 100 Days of Success Secrets, okay? Going to have the 100 Days of Success Secrets, and the very first thing we're going to talk about today is speak slowly. It says speak slowly. Now, I wonder what that has to do with anything. I mean, why does speaking quickly or slowly matter? I guess we are going to find out. We have a lot to say in only a short time in which to say it. The natural tendency is to try to pack as much as we can. But communication is not about the number of things we say. It's about the number of things that we say that are understood. Good speakers master a practice that is simple but powerful. They speak more slowly than others. Well, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? It says here, newsman David Brinkley's distinctive delivery is known to generations. He was a pioneer in network news, anchoring the original NBC News report before hosting the Sunday morning news analysis program This Week. He credits a teacher's simple advice for a great deal of his success. He said to me, the faster you speak, the less people will understand you. Take that to heart, and I did, said Brinkley. Interesting. People rate speakers who speak more slowly as being 38% more knowledgeable than speakers who speak more quickly. Well, there you go. That's kind of an interesting little factoid. So I guess maybe on our show I need to speak slower. See, I've been told that speaking too slow makes people, like, turn off to you. So I guess I guess that's just a paradigm. I don't know. But let's get really into our meditations from James Allen. We have meditations for the day here. And here's the thought for the morning. There is no strife, no selfishness in the kingdom. There is perfect harmony, equipoise, and rest. Equipoise. Never heard of equipoise. Another word to look up. Those who live in the kingdom of love have all their needs supplied by the law of love. As self is the root cause of all strife and suffering, so love is the root cause of all peace and bliss. Those who are at rest in the kingdom do not look for happiness in any outward possessions, They are freed from all anxiety and trouble, and resting in love, they are the embodiment of happiness. So love is the answer. Isn't that the most awesome thing? So here is the meditation for the day. It says, acquire the priceless possession of spiritual discernment, clothing his soul with the colorless garment of humility. A man bends all his energies to the uprooting of those opinions which he has hitherto loved and cherished. He now learns to distinguish between truth, which is one and unchangeable, and his own and others' opinions about truth. Okay, well, opinions about truth are just that. They are opinions, which are many and changeable. He sees that his opinions about goodness, purity, compassion, and love are very distinct from those qualities themselves, and that he must stand upon those divine principles and not his own opinions. Hitherto, he has regarded his own opinions as of great value, but now ceases to so elevate his own opinions and defend them against those of others, and comes to regard them as utterly worthless. Stand upon the divine principles of purity, wisdom, compassion, and love. You know, that's it. Excuse me. Sorry. No sneeze button. That's it. Just let go of the ego and just let go. Let God be powerful, be passionate, be truthful, and, you know, purity, wisdom, compassion, love, all those things really do make up an ideal life. And that's some really good information here. Now, here is the thought for the evening. It says, let it not be supposed that the children of the kingdom live in ease and insolence. These two sins are the first that have been eradicated when the search for the kingdom is entered. Well, yeah, you know, slothful laziness, that's what leads to a debauched kind of life, you know. That's interesting. They live in a peaceful activity. In fact, they only truly live for the life of self with its train of worries, griefs, fears. It's not a real life. So it's being selfish again. The people that are just looking for, you know, not really doing anything, and ease and, you know, insolence, laziness, they're selfish. The children of the kingdom are known by their life. They manifest the fruits of the spirits, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, and self-control under all circumstances and vicissitudes. Whoa, these words are awesome. This is so old school. I don't know what vicissitudes is. It's spelled V-I-C-I-S-S-I-T-U-T-E-S. So vicissitudes. Interesting. V-I-C-I-S-S-I-T-U-D-E-S. Something to look up and discuss further. But, you know, it all goes back to the same thing. It's being awakened, it's loving, it's compassion, it's kindness, and, you know, there is that magic in your own mind that we all really just need to tap into, and a lot of times we just don't do that. A lot of times we live from just a very vain place, and we don't go ahead and see things from others' perspectives either, you know. So it's interesting to see how we're living. And truly, you can choose to change your life. And you could build your confidence without being conceited. You build your confidence and you build those neuro pathways and you get your brain wired for success. And it's changing your beliefs, it's changing your actions, it's taking the approach of excellence and service. And if I am talking slow today, I am really, really tired, which is good. It's really good, you know. But you've got to reprogram that subconscious mind. And you have to master these things. And once you master them, you will get get that neuroscience, you will be able to achieve your goals and your visions and your dreams. But you've got to reprogram that subconscious mind. So, you know, if you're going through a difficult time and you really want to turn things around at lightning speed, you must master your subconscious mind. You've got to watch your self-talk. Your subconscious mind is what's controlling your success or lack thereof. You see, you may say you want to achieve something on that conscious, superfluous level, but if your subconscious mind is sending those opposite signals, your subconscious mind is always going to win. But at a deep subconscious level, you say to yourself, I'm not good enough. I don't know what to do. That's what you're going to manifest. But if you say, you know, oh, I'm good, I could do anything, but at your subconscious mind, you sit there and you psych yourself out, it's going to be difficult, if not impossible, to make your dream a reality. Because we don't manifest what we want. We manifest what we want, what we believe. It's about belief. Belief is the magic potion. It's the super secret sauce to success. But that belief has got to be that intrinsic subconscious belief. I'm going to say that again. We don't manifest what we want. We manifest what we believe. So if you say that you want one thing, but you believe something else at your deepest intrinsic subconscious level, you are blocking yourself from ever achieving that. This is true for everything, from love, for money, for success, for writing that book or getting those goals set. See, if you're experiencing any type of difficulty or even, you know, with your finances, so if you're not that financial freedom point, I bet you limiting a belief about money. I bet you go ahead and look at people that have money and say, you know, they're selfish, they're greedy, they probably hurt someone to get it. If that's what you really believe about money, you're never going to have it. But the cool thing is, and it's really exciting, once you start shifting your limiting beliefs in your subconscious level, you're going to have everything flowing to you that you want. It works in any area of your life. All you do, okay, all you really have to do is make the time to unravel and unveil what your limiting beliefs are around the area that's not working for you right now. So that's going to take time for you to sit and understand where you're at. And you got to start doing the work. You got to peel back and say, what's not working for me and why isn't this working for me? But if you don't do it, who is? Because who's creating this life? You are. So you've got to take that time to peel back and see what is going on in your life and what's stopping you from creating this great abundance that you so desire, you say you desire. Maybe you really don't want it at all, okay? But if you really do, you've got to take the time. You've got to invest the time in yourself. And once you've uncovered and bring all of that stuff onto the conscious level of your mind, and then and only then can you dramatically shift that part of your life. Okay, now this is really a deep training, and we've done these kind of things with clients, and you've got to go ahead and start really seeking deep inside of yourself. So these are just things that we do with folks, you know, regularly. And, you know, we're going to really talk about, you know, all of your vibrations that you're creating, because everything we do is a vibration. Everything that we say, everything that we do, it's all a vibration. And we'll talk more about vibrations tomorrow. If anybody has studied any of the law of attraction stuff like The Secret, you know that these things are your vibration. So, you know, create that ideal life. Go deep. Go take yourself and you know, believe that you can. Remember, belief is the super, super power. But the thing you've got to do to to get to that superpower is unpack where your limiting beliefs are. So let's everybody take some time today and start catching yourself. If you say you can't do something, take that T off. Erase that T. So, and then start visualizing. So let's talk about money, because money is, you know, it could be the root of all evil, ha ha ha. And if that's what you believe, you know what, you're never gonna have any. But money is a great tool, okay? So, you know, visualize and believe that you're having money. So, you know, when you close your eyes and you visualize having money, imagine doing all the things you want to do with that money. And how you're going to really start creating a new reality in your subconscious mind, okay? This is where the subconscious is where the law of attraction is just, that's where the magic is, okay? Your subconscious mind and the law of attraction do not know whether you are imagining something or whether it's real, okay? That's the thing. That is where that thing is. That's why you have a profound belief, visualization, and you've got to keep working at that subconscious level, and you've got to keep unpacking it. So when you imagine, the law of attraction receives your thoughts and images as though you were already living them. And it must return those visions to you. You're sending out a vibrational energy. So when you're in a place where your imagining feels real, you'll know how it's penetrating and it's burning that subconscious mind. And the law of attraction, it will deliver it. But you have to do the work. You have to visualize the dream and focus on your feelings that you're getting from it and be excited and believe it. Believe it with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your body, and just keep unpacking that. If you feel that you have limiting beliefs, learn what they are. Only you can decide what your limiting beliefs are. When you hear yourself saying, I can't do this, or I never get that, or... you know, those are some clues. When you start saying things like, I can't, or I won't, well, really, if you won't, then you won't. You know, whatever you say is what you're going to manifest. And that's the dual-edged sword of our words. You know, your words can be your biggest containers of power, or they can be the knife that just kills your dreams and your visions and your reality of what you want to manifest. So really start unpacking those limiting beliefs. So now let's go a little bit into our eight pillars. We've been doing our eight pillars of prosperity by James Allen. We went into energy, economy, integrity, system, sympathy, sincerity, impartiality, and self-reliance. And we did self-reliance yesterday for the most part. This thing is just so deep, and, you know, with the old language, it's really kind of interesting on how to, you know, it's interesting on how it all works. But the self-reliance piece is, let's see, where are we here yesterday? Okay, the self-reliance piece is decision, steadfastness, dignity, and independence. So when you make, you know, a decision, when you make a decision, that being a decisive person is powerful. And a lot of times, you know, I know myself doing some of the stuff that I have to do because it involves other people, it's very hard to make quick decisions. But if you are decisive, and this is another thing you need to practice, okay? You need to practice having certainty. And it's a great element of self-reliance. So you must make decisions quickly and compelling. And indecision is a disintegrating factor. And that's actually habit. If you start becoming wishy-washy, it's going to start feeding over into your life. A man should be decided always both where he knows and what he does not know. He should be as ready to say no as yes, as quick to acknowledge his ignorance as to impart his knowledge. If he stands upon a fact and acts from a simple truth, he will find no room for halting between two opinions. So make up your mind quickly and act decisively. Better still, have a mind that is already made up, then decision will be instinctive and spontaneous. Steadfastness is another post to this pillar. And steadfastness arises in a mind that is quick to decide. It is indeed a final decision upon the best course of conduct and the best path in life. It is the vow of the soul to stand firmly by its principles, whatever betide. It is necessary nor unnecessary that any written spoken vow for unswerving loyalty to a fixed principle is the spirit of all vows. And a man without fixed principles will not accomplish much. Expediency is a quagmire and a thorny waste in which a man continually sticking and shifting mud of his own moral looseness. Okay, so, you know, you can't, you know, be shifty and it's... And then dignity is another pillar here, and it's a majestic garment of a steadfast mind. He who is unyielding is a bar of steel when he is expected to compromise with evil, and supple as a willow wand is adapting himself, which is good. The unsteady mind that is not anchored to any fixed principles, where its own desires are threatened and yielding its own moral welfare, the man of dignity cannot be downtrodden and enslaved because he has ceased to tread upon and enslave himself. So you have to maintain your own dignity, always. Independence is the birthright. And we're actually, we're losing our independence and freedom here. It's the birthright of strong and well-controlled man. All men love to strive for liberty. All men aspire to some sort of freedom. A man should labor himself or for the community he is, unless he is crippled, chronic, invalid, or mentally irresponsible. He should be ashamed to depend on others for all he has, giving nothing in return. He should be ashamed to depend on all upon others for all he has, giving nothing in return. If one imagines that such condition is freedom, let him know that it is one of the lowest forms of slavery. The time will come when, to be drone in the human hive, even a respectable drone and not a poor tramp, will be a public disgrace and will be no longer respectable. Independence, freedom, glorious liberty come through labor, not from idleness. And the self-reliant man is too strong, too honorable, too upright to depend on others, like a suckling babe for his support. He earns with hand or brain the right to live as becomes a man and a citizen. Only he who is self-supporting is free, self-reliant, and independent. Thus, in nature, of the eight pillars explained, on one foundation they rest, the manner of their building. Their ingredients, their foretold nature of the material which each is composed. So this is what supports the temple, the pillars of strength of prosperity. And then it says a little bit here, the pillar of prosperity, first, details cannot stand alone, but are powerless to build up anything unless intelligently related to principles. Details are infinite and ceasingly changing, while principles are few and eternal and unchangeable. Principles are huge. I mean, and they're like the laws. Remember, we've talked about laws cannot be broken, only transgressed, right? So principles are the coherent factor in all details, regulating and harmonizing them so that they have the right principles to be right in all subsidiary details. A teacher of truth in any direction must adhere rigidly to principles and must allow himself to be drawn away from them into the ever-changing maze of private particulars and personal details. He who grasps the principles of these eight pillars will be able to be intelligently and able to intelligently practice them, will be able to reach the heart of his fourfold reason. The details of a man's affairs are important, but they are his details and the details of his particular branch of industry, and all outside branches are not concerned. So if you work these principles, these are superpowers. To have the body of prosperity is a material presentation. You must have first the spirit of prosperity, and that is your intrinsic. So the spirit of prosperity is the quick spirit of moral virtue, Moral blindness prevails. Men see money, property, pleasure, leisure, etc., and mistake them for prosperity. Strive to get them for their own enjoyment, but when obtained, they find no joy in them. Prosperity is at first a spirit, an attitude of mind, a moral power, a life which manifests outwardly in the form of plenty, happiness, and joy. Just as a man cannot become a genius by writing poems, essays, and plays, but he must develop and acquire the soul of genius. When the writing will follow is effect to cause, no one cannot become prosperous by hoarding up money, gaining property and possessions, but he must acquire the soul of virtue. When the material accessories will follow as an effect to the cause, the spirit of virtue and the day of spirit of joy, it contains within itself all abundance, all satisfaction, and all fullness of life. Remember, there's no joy in money or property or material accumulations. These things are dead, and they have no life or energy. Your spirit of joy is inside of you, and you must have within you your own capacity for happiness. You must have the wisdom to know how to use these things. You must possess them, but not be possessed by them. They must be dependent upon you, but you not upon your things. So remember, nothing is absent from the kingdom of heaven. It's all good and true and necessary. It says the kingdom of God is within you. You know, these principles are fantastic, and you can be prosperous. So let's, before we close, let's talk about energy. Energy is rousing oneself up to strenuous and unremitting exertion in the accomplishment of your task. Economy is your concentration of power, the conservation of both capital, character, and the latter being the mental capital, therefore of the utmost importance. Integrity is unswerving honesty, keeping in all promises, agreements, contracts, apart from all considerations of loss or gain. Integrity. That's okay. Oh, I didn't know that I was going to lose doing it, but if you say you're going to do it, you got to do it. You got to buck up. System is making all details subservient to order and thereby relieving the memory and the mind of superfluous work and strain by reducing many to one. Sympathy is magnanimity, generosity, gentleness, tenderness, and being open-handed, free, and kind. Sincerity is being sound and whole, robust and true, therefore not being one person in public and another in private, and not just assuming good actions openly while doing bad actions in secret. Impartiality is justice, not striving for self, but weighing both sides and acting in accordance with equity. And self-reliance is looking onto oneself for strength, support by standing on principles which are fixed and invincible and not relying upon outward things and others, because things will be snatched away. So how could any life be other than successful when being built on these pillars? Their strength of intellectual power is amazing. So, you know what? It's not circumstances that make you. You make your own circumstances and create your character, and your character will be built by doing these things. And these are principles of truth that truly do endure. And so it's all wonderful things, and we've kind of pretty much closed this up. And, wow, this has been a really deep book, this Eight Pillars of Prosperity. I don't know what we'll be doing tomorrow. We will be having more of the same tomorrow, not the Eight Pillars. I don't know what we're going to do. This is an interesting show, and it's Monday. We've only got about another 60 seconds to go on this one. Thank you for joining me. I hope you enjoyed our Awaken to Empowerment show today. This is Carol Ann Parisi, and hopefully you'll have an empowered, enlightening, awakened, successful day so you could create your empowered, ideal life and everything your heart desires. Life is too short. Create, be, awaken, and we are here for you. So create your ideal life, make it a great day, and hopefully we've served you well today and learned something. talk to you next time with Check Out with Boston. This is Carol Ann Parisi saying bye-bye. God bless, be well, and we will be back next time.